Let's read together Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we thought patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for the cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, which is with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with joy, with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Christ Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. For when therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Romans 15.
For those of you that are visitors here, I've been going through Romans, and I started this a few years ago, actually, now, and we're to the 15th chapter. And for my sake, I'm glad we're heading here towards the end. But so that's what brings us on this morning, the 15th chapter. That's where we left off at the end of the 14th chapter of the last time I talked here. And I just marvel at the Spirit as it works among believers as they gather together. And this happens a lot, and we hear this a lot, but if we look here at the first couple of verses here of the 15th chapter of Romans, it says that we that are strong ought to bear with the weak and not to please ourselves. And I just want to look real quick at, see, where were you at, Wes? Luke 18. Luke 18, in the 9th verse, says here that he spake a parable to these people that despised others, thought they were righteous and despised others. And I think a lot of times that's where we get with ourselves when we that are strong, and I'm going to kind of clarify that in a little bit. We that are strong, we get in our head that we're right. That's what righteousness means, is being right with God. But a lot of times we just get in our head that we're right, and we actually do despise others. And myself included. I mean, this what I'm going to talk about here today is for me also. I thought it was also interesting that Wes went to Mark there, and maybe I ought to just turn there in Mark 7, I believe it was. In Mark 7, in the 21st verse, I just want you to notice this, that Jesus said these words, that from within a man, and that's what we're talking about today, from within a man proceed these things. And I want to skip the first thing that proceed out of a man, and I want to go to the second thing here, and that is adultery. Well, I'm not guilty of that. And let's see. Fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit. I mean, if those things come into our life and they become apparent and they're recognized by fellow Christians, I mean, it's like, whoa, here, this is bad news. But I want you to look at the first thing he said there. Evil thoughts. Now, what was the Pharisee that was praying in Luke? What was he having there when he started out and he started praying? I am glad that I am not this and that and the other. He was having evil thoughts. And then Jesus finished up here and he said, pride and foolishness. I don't know. It's just pretty sobering as we look at really the things that we can hide in our being and that manifest themselves some, but just aren't like these grave sins. And yet Jesus called them out. I'm just going to say he used those things for the bread of the sandwich. I mean the top and the bottom. Evil thoughts and pride and foolishness. So I just really appreciated those verses. And so I think what I've done here in Romans is that I have just went through verse by verse, basically. And so that's what I'm going to do today. I'm just going to start out I'll take a couple verses at a time. And so we're going to start out here and we're just going to look at the first two verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For those of you that did not hear the 14th chapter, if you go back into the 14th chapter, Paul even starts out that chapter and he says that him that is weak in the faith. And so I want to clarify here what Paul's talking about when he says that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And he's not talking about a strong man. He's not talking about those that go out and get things done and a weaker brother can't come along. And what he's talking about here is those that are weak, strong in the faith, and those that are weak in the faith. And in the last chapter, he brought up several instances where, because a lot of his audience was Jewish people, he brought up several instances where those that are weak in the faith are holding on to things that really with our freedom in Christ we're able to do. But yet those that were weaker in the faith were holding on to those things and maybe even demanding that you that is strong in the faith and use your newborn liberty that you have in Christ that you ought to do like I do. And so that's kind of his admonition. And so I wrote down here that these two verses right here, these two verses in Romans 15, after a Christian has believed, after he's had repentance in his life, and after he has confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So after belief, and after repentance, and after confession, that probably the next, and I don't even know if you can categorize this, but probably one of the next most, I don't know if I want to call it important or this the next most thing that will come up in a Christian life is our relationships with other people. It happens every day. And we meet people that every day, that we don't agree with. And a lot of times, in what Paul's talking about here, he's not talking about sin issues. He's not talking about those issues that are in between that sandwich. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about issues that, I forget the word that I used last or a month ago when I talked. Issues that are non-salvational. I'll just put it that way. Issues that are debatable. Issues that are opinions. But yet to some, they look like it's really a major, major deal. But as we live out our Christian life, one of the most challenging areas that we're going to have as we live out our Christian life is when we deal with other people. And I'm not talking about, I mean, I'm talking about children, spouses, coworkers, church members, on and on and on. That's where our challenges come in a lot of times as we go through life. And so Paul is saying here that there are other people in the world that you're going to deal with that will have opinions besides you. You know, the society that we're living in today, I don't know what it was like back in those times. There was a lot of idol worship. I suppose because human nature was there just like it is today, it was probably pretty identical. But the society that we're living in today is what I'm going to call a me, my, and I society. And if you look at advertisements, I just think about the iPhone, the iPad, the iMac. I don't think it's an accident that those are named that. I mean, that's what those things, that's what it's about, is me, my, and I. When I was a teenager running around, there was a song, and I can't hardly remember the name of it, but it went something like, you know, I talk to you about different things. I talk to you about the clothes you wear and where you want to go shopping and the weather, and I just talk to you and talk to you, but I'm kind of tired of that. Let's talk about me, myself, and I. Let's talk about me a while. And that's kind of where we can get to in the society. And that's what Paul's saying here, is that it's just against human nature. It is so much against my human nature to put someone else ahead of me. It's just not there. I mean, every day, I have to check myself by the grace of God only. By the grace of God only. Can I check myself and try to put others ahead of myself? And so I just want to say this, that is, as we go through this, that this is not about a weak brother. This is about a weak brother, not living in sin. He just has different passions, and he thinks that you might should have them also. Things that are just not spelled out in Scripture. And he says that we need to bear with those people. And I'm going to get to it later why it's so important that we bear with one another. Philippians 2 in the 3rd and through the 5th verse says this. It's a scripture that we read over and over. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Really? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man look on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And I could stop there, but He gives an antidote for that at the end of that verse, or the end of those three verses. He gives an antidote for that. But every man also, well, let me just read that again. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he says this, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That's the only way. The only way is to have the mind of Christ as we go through life. And so what Paul is saying here is that it's not about who's right and wrong. On issues that are not spelled out in the Bible, it's not about who's right and wrong. What is it about? It's about how we treat each other in spite of our differences. How do we treat each other in spite of our differences? I hate to even say this, but I have seen and I have been in and I have felt situations where if you don't think like me, I won't even have anything to do with you. And Jesus, or Paul, is addressing this issue. 1 Corinthians 9, in the 19th verse. I'm going to turn there and read that. I want to read a few verses. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. I'm going to read through the 23rd verse. Okay, 19. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free, this is Paul speaking here, again in Corinthians. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. There's a lot said in that verse. Though I be free from all men. What's he saying there? Though I be free. Though I have liberty in Christ. Though I be free from the law of men. We'll go on here. Yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being under the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And then the 23rd verse, I want you to notice this. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And this I do for the gospel's sake. And it's not saying that Paul started keeping all the feast, and that he commanded these things that was in the law. That's what he was referring to there. But it's saying that he didn't stop them. If your conscience says that you need to keep the feast, or maybe that you need to still worship on the Sabbath, he addresses that in other places. In the last chapter, he addressed that. Some people esteem one day holy, others esteem every day alike. Just be persuaded in your own mind. So on things that are not salvational, Paul says, basically get along, is basically what he says. Don't make a big deal about it. And do this for the gospel's sake. And that's the most important thing there, and we're going to get to that. Do that for the gospel's sake. So I want to go to verse 3 now. Romans 15:3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. The reproaches of, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So I want you to think about this. So first of all, Paul is, in the first two verses, says, think about someone besides yourself. And then he's pointing out that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who could have called 12 legions of angels to save him, did not do that, but he became a man and he hung on the cross for you and I. You talk about giving yourself up for someone else. That's what Paul's saying here, is look at the example that we have to follow. Philippians 2, 6 and 9, reading on from where I read before there, Philippians 2, goes on in 6 and 9, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, Jesus had a lot of rights. I mean, he was the Son of God. In fact, he's the creator of the universe. And yet, because of you and I, he lowered himself, even to the point of death. And so, What about us? What about us when we come up against a situation . Can we let go of our rights for another brother or sister? Can we do it for the gospel's sake, like Paul said? Is that in your heart to do that? When it's not an issue of salvation? When it's not spelled out in the gospel? You know, really, what rights do we really have? Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know, when Paul wrote this to the Romans, and he says that through patience and comforts of the scripture that we might have hope, what he was referring to there is the Old Testament. The five books of Moses, the Psalms, the Proverbs of Solomon, the prophets. That's what he was referring to there. And he says that through, they were written for our learning. You know, Rebecca and I, as we read the Bible every morning after breakfast, recently we started over and we went back into the Old Testament. And we start through Genesis, and that's kind of interesting, very interesting. And then you come through Exodus, and all of a sudden in the last few days, maybe 15 days, we hit Leviticus. And I'm like, I think I even said, is this even necessary? Some of the things that you go, it is. It is. There's little gems in there. There's little gems of scripture, all verses in scripture all through the Bible that are there for our learning. They're there for our edification to build us up. And Paul says here that they were there, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope. You know, the Psalm 119, 105th verse says this, that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's there for me presently for the next step. It's a lamp to my feet. And it's there for me out in the future. It's a light in the path that I should take. I've told this before, I think, but I think about the time, it was a couple years ago that we were harvesting, and we started in the daylight and then it gets pitch dark. And as I'm growing a little bit older, my feet aren't quite what they used to be. Sometimes they're kind of numb and tingle, and I harvested till after dark, and I come out of the combine and I'm walking across this field in pitch dark. And you stumble. You stumble if you don't have a lamp at your feet. And not only is it good to have a lamp at your feet to see maybe where the sprayer you sprayed when it was a little bit wet, and you have a little thing, and you can twist your leg and your ankle pretty bad. But you also need a light ahead of you to see where you're going. Couldn't even see the pickup. Trying to go to the pickup. You need a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And that's what David in the Psalms is saying. Read the scriptures. It'll enlighten your way. It'll take you out of darkness. Hebrews says this, for the word of God is quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What other book should we read? What other book is sharper than a two-edged sword? But more important in this, look at the end of that verse that I just read, the fourth verse there. It says that we do this that we might have hope. It's only through the encouragement of the scriptures that we have hope in difficult times. I'm telling you, if you don't know the Bible and you don't know Jesus and you run into difficult times in your life, which you're going to, there's no hope. And the world has gone after things to replace that hope. Addictions, alcohol, drugs, pornography, on and on. But Paul says that it's through the patience and comforts of the scripture that we have hope. Recently, Rebecca and I heard a story, and I thought this was so interesting. An 11-year-old boy, an only child, if I'm remembering right, and his grandmother lives here in Ohio. Grandma and grandpa live in Ohio. And he lives in North Carolina. And he comes every summer to spend 2 weeks with his grandma here in Ohio. And since he was a little baby, he's done this. I don't know when he started, at what age, but there has been orders from his parents to the grandmother that you are not to talk about God. You're not to read him Bibles or Bible stories, and he's not to have a Bible. Those were the stipulations set down for this boy that is now 11 years old. And a couple weeks ago, he came to Grandma's. And he started asking all kinds of questions about God. It seemed to be what was on his mind. And then his grandmother noticed that he had a Bible of his own. And she began to worry. I mean, I didn't give it to him. Where did this come from? We're not even supposed to talk about this. And now he's reading a Bible in secret and asking me questions at 11 years old. What's the boy searching for? Is he searching for hope? Does a child need hope just like an adult? The grandmother then decided that she would call the other grandmother who had had the boy for a couple weeks previous. And that grandmother confessed to this grandmother that I gave him the Bible. He wanted it. He asked for it. I gave it to him. So this mother called the mother, this grandmother called the mother and said, your son has a Bible. Let's just get this out in the open. And he's reading it and he has questions. What do you want me to do? And she said, I forget the term, but it's better than just let him have it and read it. It's better than video games. But this 11-year-old child, who has intentionally been starved of God, his creator, Jesus, his redeemer, picked up the word of God and it became alive to him. And our prayer is it'll change his life forever. But Paul is saying here, don't neglect this. Read the scriptures. Tell you what, let's sing together hymn number 245. I was going to say this earlier and I forgot, but it's a common meter. 245. Our God is love, and all his saints his image bear below. The heart with love to God inspired, with love to man will glow. None who are truly born of God, we've sang this before, can live at enmity. Then may we love each other, Lord, as we are loved by thee, heirs of the same immortal bliss, our hopes and fears the same. With bonds of love, our hearts unite with mutual love in flame. So may the unbelieving world see how true Christians love and glorify our Savior's grace and seek that grace to prove. Let's move on now to the 5th through the 7th verse, 5 through 7. Now the God of patience and consolation, I'm going to just read that word patience there doesn't, it means endurance. The God of endurance and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I want you to notice that last part there in verse 7. It says, receive ye one another as Christ also hath received us to the glory of God. And in other translations, it says to welcome one another. But when we live in harmony with each other, and I didn't say that when we're all alike, and when we all look alike, and we walk alike, and we talk alike, and we do everything alike. I said that when we're in harmony with one another, when we can bear the infirmities, when we can bear with each other, although we may not always think alike. I know it says there that have one mind. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but when we live in harmony with each other, what does the 7th verse say there? What does it do when we live in harmony with each other? It gives glory to God. It brings glory to God when His people, the Christians who walk the face of the earth, live in harmony with each other. What does it do? There's an opposite here. What does it do as a witness of Jesus Christ when we do the opposite of that? It does not bring glory to God. First Corinthians 1 in the 10th verse says this, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. I think what Jesus is saying, what Paul is saying there is that let's all worship the same Lord. In another place, he says one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is in all and above all. On the things that are in the scriptures, the things that Jesus pointed out in the Sermon on the Mount and in the parables, through the New Testament, let's be of the same mind. And let's be in the same judgment there, that there be no divisions among us. And how important is this that we do this? In John 13:35, a familiar verse, it says this, that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. In Luke 6:31, it says this, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do to them likewise." Oh my goodness. I would really like to read. I had written down here, read the 17th chapter of John, the 10th to the 23rd verse. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to turn there though. I think I'm just going to go to the 23rd verse and just read two or three verses there, here. This whole chapter here is Jesus praying to God for you and I. Specifically for the disciples that were following him at that time, but he also makes mention of you and I that come later. But in the 21st verse, he says this, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Probably the first qualification for salvation is belief. You need to believe. And it says here that if the church in the world today, in my own words, treat each other with respect, that the world will know. And they'll believe. The 22nd verse, "And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." So my prayer for them is that they may be one as you and I, God, are one. And that's our prayer for the church today. So it's 10 till, so I think I'm going to just kind of stop there. But I am going to also say this, that is way down here in my notes, that as we're dealing with each other, there's two sides. There's the weak brother and there's the strong brother. And so much of my Christian life, I have thought that those who offended someone was in the wrong. And they are a lot of times. Jesus said it's better that for you not to even be born than to offend one of these little ones. Unless I'm getting something mixed up there, but lately I have changed my thinking a little bit. And I've come to the conclusion that as Christians, we should not be offended so easily. We are living in a world that is offended, that gets offended about any little thing. And as Christians, we need to rise above that. You know, there's a verse in Matthew, I think it's the 24th chapter, I think the 10th verse. Maybe the 11th, 24:10. And the disciples there are asking Jesus, what's it going to be like in the end times? What's going to happen when you're about to return? And he says there's going to be wars, and there's going to be rumors of wars, and there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famine. Have we seen those things? Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. But in the 10th verse, it says this. I should just turn there because I'm trying to quote it. In the 10th verse, it says this. And then shall many be offended. It doesn't say there'll be many people offending. It says, and then shall many be offended. And it goes on and it says that they'll betray one another. After they're offended, it won't matter what your relationship is with that person. Because you're offended, you'll do anything to that person. And then it says, and that they shall hate one another. And so I would just warn us as Christians. I know there's an old elder in this district years and years ago. He's gone now. His name was Raymond Garber. And one of his quotes, one of his sayings was this, that Christians are not easily offended. And so I think I'm just going to drop down to the last verse in Romans 15 and say this. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.